Everybody starts to fan out into Lowry's cave. Pythara takes the form of a woman again so that she can fit in more easily without accidentally crushing one of you guys. Cherry says, "So this is where you lived, huh?"
"I lived wherever I laid down to rest, which incidentally was here most of the time because it was convenient, but it could have been anywhere."
"I always kind of imagined you being birthed, fully formed from some murky puddle in the worst parts of the city."
"I came out of an egg just like everybody else. And even if I had been birthed out of a murky puddle, I could still live in a cave."
Madame McGoffel kind of wanders around, taking note of everything. She starts heading for the exit. She says, "So I hear that there's an entire city of men who don't cover themselves up."
"Well, they do wear clothes, Your Greatness."
"Yeah, but they wear short sleeves and you can just see their biceps."
"Oh, yeah. I used to train at this temple where the guys would just walk around shirtless almost all the time."
"Oh my god, they just walked around like that?"
"Yeah. And, like, lifted stuff and worked out and got all sweaty and everything."
"Okay, let's... We don't know we're gonna go back there."
"What do you mean? Of course we're going there! You think I climbed through all those crevices and dealt with all this just to not see men with no shirts on? That'd be insane! You know, I've been thinking about it. Why doesn't Eloria send a small military force to teach all the surface worlders a lesson? And after all that, I get it. You never get the supplies up through all the caves. An army that can't eat is an army that can't fight. But a small team of assassins, there you go. All right, I get it. But assassins, you know, you can't just go in and attack someone. You have to survey the area, right? That's one of the main things. That's why I say that we need to..." And then she walks into the sunlight. And she falls over screaming, "Ah, my God! The air on the surface is made of fire!"
Okay, run over and grab Madame McGoffel and drag her out of the sunlight.
"A demon looked at me. I saw it out there. It's one baleful eye staring down at my..."
I think you might be talking about the sun, madam.
"Is it a guard? Can it be killed? How do we get past it?" And seeing her in the light a little better, it actually appears that her skin is somewhat translucent. So actually, her organs will bake in the sun in no time at all.
"Well... according to my briefing, the sun will sleep during certain hours of the day."
"Oh, thank goodness. Okay, so we'll go. First rule of business, we will kill the sun."
"Oh, it's completely made out of fire. There's lots of stories of man having tried and failed exactly that."
"You said it sleeps during hours. What are hours?"
"Oh, during certain sands."
"Well, why didn't you just call them sands?"
"Oh, because on the surface, time is measured by hours."
"What? That's crazy. Why would they have a separate form of telling time?"
"Well, the surface dwellers measure their time based on when the demon in the sky goes to sleep."
"Has it always been there?"
"You know, allegedly, no. But no one has any explanation what anyone did for food before then."
"Well, in that case, it does make sense. By Centaurora, you'd have to schedule your life around that thing."
"Yeah, it's pretty demanding."
"Hey, Elvis, why don't you go out and tell us about how many more sands or hours it will be before we can go outside?"
"You have a peek, and looks like the sun is headed down. It'll be just a couple more hours."
"We should be good in a few."
"How do you survive like this?"
"Well, you gotta drink a lot of water, and if you're gonna be out all day, make sure you wear a hat."
"Oh, the people of the Dark Bottoms could take over this place, but who would want it?"
"Okay, I'm gonna go and find my parents. And, cat people."
"What is it, idiot slaver person?" And your mom gives your dad a look like he's gone crazy.
See, you guys are free now. So you're allowed to call me idiot slaver person if you want."
"Seriously? We could just go now?"
"Do you want to? Because earlier you said that you wanted to stay."
No. I mean, I didn't think that you'd actually..."
"Well, there's, a lot of questions now about what do you want to do, what do you want to see, you..."
"Is my son still with Namir?"
"No. Actually."
"Is he alive?"
"Yes, and he's not doing drugs."
"I didn't mean that. Where is he now?"
I could have him meet you wherever you intend to go."
"I don't care. Wherever he is, I don't even have to talk to him. I'd like to see him. I just want to see him one time."
"Okay, sure. That's not doable right now, but it can be arranged."
"Then that's what I want."
"Okay, all right. Go to Cherry. Cherry. Do you have a way to get out of here?"
300% yes. Give me a few hours and I can be gone for good."
"Okay. Could you take my parents with you?"
"You know, maybe. But could you talk me into it?"
"Oh, Cherry, come on!"
"You're asking me to go on the run with two highly conspicuous cat people. Can I escape by myself? Yes. Can I take them with me? I'm not sure. We might get nabbed. I've got some stashes around the city. I don't know if some of them are being watched, but if they are, they're going to be hard to get to. I know how to lose a tail. Your parents, however, have one attached and don't know how to escape it.
So what is this going to be? Another trade about money, information, what? What do you need?
I am in way too deep, Paul. It's not about money or needing you to give me anything. I just don't think that I can do any more.
Come on, there has to be something.
No, there has to be a limit. There has to be a line that I draw in the sand where I say, you just can't push this any further.
But what am I supposed to do with them? I went through all this to find them and get them out. Now what am I supposed to just give up here?
Look, I don't know. Maybe I can think about it. There's nothing easy. There's nothing easy ahead of us. Bethara walks up to the two of you. She's supernaturally beautiful. Her curls are just falling all over the place. She says, I could not help but overhear this conversation. I've got very good hearing, just for your knowledge. But it sounds like you've got a lot of enemies. It sounds like in high places. But it seems like you guys are, on the whole, pretty resourceful. You have kind of a hostage in Madame Agafel who doesn't even seem to realize she is a hostage. And you've also stumbled into a new friend, and she points gingerly at herself. I'll bet that your enemies think they have all the angles covered, but they haven't accounted for Madame Agafel here, and they haven't accounted for me.
I haven't accounted for you. I don't know what you're capable of or what you want.
I want to run your city. I want to run your country. I can shapeshift. If you have an enemy in a high place and we can draw them out, I could probably kill them discreetly and take their place. And then maybe I can look the other way on all your discretions. Cherry gives this appraising look to Pathara and she smirks. And she goes, you know, I have tried to use these guys as bait from the beginning. You are in for a very sorry discovery.
Yeah, Lowry's gonna screw it all up.
He screws everything up.
Yeah, no plan survives first contact with Lowry.
Pathara says, okay, I could just eat Lowry.
I don't think I want to advocate for that.
Cherry says, I might.
Hey, what you guys talking about?
Oh, you. We were talking about whether or not the dragon should kill you and eat you so that our plans would work more efficiently.
Oh. Yeah. I really wish you guys would be asking whether or not these plans should work in the grand scheme. I mean, you know, we could all just live in my cave and be happy.
Bethara says, that sounds awful.
It's not. I've suggested plans like this every single time, and if you guys just went along with it, it never would have failed, and you'd all be happier than you are now.
That's not true. If I'd listened to you, I wouldn't have my parents now.
Yeah, but now what are you going to do with them? You have them, but are you really happier? You just have another hurdle.
Well, we're going to get over that hurdle.
You know, accepting the bottom rung is really just the worst thing that you can do. The drive to get something better than what you have now is all that stands between you and having the worst possible things.
I'm not saying things have to be worse. I'm just saying that things could be fine. We could be fine with things. For example, Paul's parents could just live with me in the cave if they were fine with it.
And yet, she holds up the crystal that she took from you. You weren't fine with being wrong about things. You were willing to take the extra steps to win an argument.
Yes, which is perhaps a flaw in me that I should work on.
Or maybe your entire life perspective is wrong, and you should work on that.
No.
Well, you would say no. I've been around a long time, and nobody ever accepts advice like that. We could get into why. I know exactly why you can't accept my answer. And it would take a lot of discussion to help you figure it out, but I don't know if I want to have that argument if my plans don't go the way that I want.
Yeah, yeah, you don't know anything. You're not, you know...
I am thousands of years old. I've had a lot of time to think about human nature, and believe me, even over great lengths of time, people don't change very much. I've been educated by this and that philosopher, and you know, the ones that sit next to kings and advise them? They're the ones that are often quoted as though they knew what was going on. Now, I know, of course, maybe you don't value that. I've caught on to where you're at. You know, as the great philosopher Peristophiles said, all things desire to return to their natural state. That's why when you drop a rock, it returns to the earth, because that's where it naturally belongs. Or so he would say.
That's dumb. That's dumb. If that were true, how come little bits of wood don't float to the bottom of the ocean or whatever? They don't belong in the water. They belong on the ground.
That's true. Very astute. But because he was at my side, people took him seriously, and they debated about his ideas and examined them. And you know what? That debate is the heart of getting at the truth of everything. I'm going to ask you something, Lowry, and I want you to think about it. If being happy with what you have, even if it's not ideal, is the objective, why aren't you happy with everyone simply rejecting your message?
Because it's not about accepting, like, anything. It's about accepting self-evident truths, such as that a cave is fine. And we could all be happy living in a cave.
Hmm. Well, I guess it's a shame that it's self-evident no one will ever hear your message and there's no point in speaking it.
No, they will hear it. I'll just yell it louder.
from inside the cave? The only one you're going to hear is yourself in the echo.
The echo repeats what I'm saying because even nature understands that my perspective is correct.
Bathara turns around and shouts into the cave, Lowry is wrong! Lowry is wrong! Lowry is wrong!
Okay, admittedly I set myself up for that one.
If I were in charge, the city would become a center for philosophical thought, and you'd be celebrated for your ideas. That would be fine, wouldn't it?
It'd be okay.
Oh well, I guess I'll just go back in the cave and sleep for another 1,000 years.
Okay, no, hold on.
But you said that's what we can do, right? I'm fine with sleeping for 1,000 years. I don't have to go out.
Okay, but maybe there is some merit to accepting that maybe we should at least try to elevate ourselves a little bit. Just a little bit.
How do you imagine?
Well, I mean, okay, so, you know, you can't go without food. If you starve to death, then there's no more persistence of being. So, you know, like, obviously starvation is not fine. You have to elevate to a ground level. And the city, being totally bereft of philosophical debate, that's not fine. So it would be okay if we elevated to that.
So if I took over the city, and your place by my side as a notable philosopher sparked conversations about important topics, that would be a level that we could be comfortable with.
It would be comfortable. I mean, that wouldn't be too opulent. You know, there are...
I don't know, though. I mean, I am considering your point of view. You are correct that we shouldn't strive too hard, or otherwise, you know, we might wind up in a worse place than we originally were.
But I mean, yes, it doesn't get worse, though, than having no philosophical fiber whatsoever. Like, that's society at its worst.
Hey, guys, what you talking about?
Philosophy. You know, the stuff that you've been ignoring.
I haven't been ignoring it. The whole point of your philosophy is that burdens create strengths. Therefore, we should never shy away from burdens and become stronger than them.
Is that what you're arguing for?
I mean, Elvis is just a novice. That is not exactly what my philosophy is.
Okay, because that sounds like the opposite of just sleeping in a cave until you die.
Yeah, one of the genius things that Lowry does is he presents these really tedious and self-contradictory arguments, but the burden of getting through them makes you smarter.
Oh, goodness, is that what you're doing? I wasn't nearly clever enough to catch that myself. Well, I feel like the world could benefit from having that spread around.
Okay, the stuff that I say is open for interpretation. Elvis is not the final authority on the meaning of my words.
No, you never stop lifting, because here's the other thing. As you get used to one burden, for you to become stronger, you have to move up to the next burden and keep on going up. You can never really drop the weight that you lifted before, whether it's mentally or physically.
I mean, I kind of said stuff like that.
Ah, so I see. To live the way that Lowry prescribes, we have to overcome the desire to be lazy and overcome even his encouragement of that laziness.
No, physical attainment is a virtue. I'm not encouraging laziness.
Actually, I like this logic. This is a very good philosophy, Lowry. We should always be striving to carry more. We should be working harder in politics to make a better society.
No, okay, see, because then there's a limit to the amount of strength that you can gather. Eventually, society gets too heavy.
Right, which is why you invent a pulley system.
What?
Well, when a weight gets too heavy for you to carry on your own two hands, you have to use tools and work smarter. That's why the brain and the body must be built simultaneously, right, Lowry?
I mean, yes, you should work your body as a temple.
Right, see? So the thing that Lowry was always trying to argue is that, you know, you get too focused on one thing. You're like, oh, I'm going to do politics, or oh, I'm going to make my body stronger. But really, you need to work on everything evenly, because if you want to lift more weights, then it takes study and an understanding of the body to figure out how to make yourself stronger than anyone who doesn't study the body. And I mean, this all just stems out logically, you know, like I get it. My dad used to always teach you should never have a favorite weapon, because every weapon is useful for different things. You have to train in the full, broad variety. It is only by mastering every weapon that you can call yourself a master at arms. And only through that mastery can you understand how to defeat any enemy with any weapon. Every weapon carries a flaw, and your body might lend itself to particular weapons. But understanding why your body leans towards those weapons and what is flawed about the weapons is elevating the mastery of the weapon. Achieving mastery is achieving flaws, as all things are naturally flawed. A sword is a noble weapon but is expensive. A mace is heavy. A spear is long but can lack force. To know where to go next and how to become stronger, you must first know where you are weak and how to improve on the weakness.
Wow. You taught him all this?
Yes.
Well, I would like you by my side more than ever now. All I need is to be able to see my plans through to the end. However, I'm told that you have a bit of a weakness about plans.
I mean, I am very good at pointing out the flaws in plans.
Right, so we can make them stronger.
Of course. Can you imagine what an ignoramus it would take to just point out flaws and then never build up on the flaws to make them better? What would be the point of that? It's barely even philosophy.
I mean, sometimes I would leave it up to you to feel like I prefer this. I don't know if you know the Socratic method, where you, like, ask a question and your other person's supposed to solve
it. This Socrates thing, it sounds like a hack. You're better than that, I can tell.
Yeah, I am.
Good. So if you're involved in a plan, I can trust that you'll only make it better.
I mean, in my own manner of ways, yes.
Paul, Pythara turns to you and she puts her hands on your shoulders. What you need to do, I think, is eliminate your enemies.
Yeah, I mean, I think about that all the time. Usually I figure I'll start with Lowry.
Look, if you go to fight with your enemies, then they found you. They're no longer looking around, which means that your parents should be able to escape unnoticed because they're not looking for them. Am I right? So we go to the front lines, we fight it out, and I'll come with you. I'll intervene if necessary, but would prefer to lay low.
You know what? When all this is over, I'm going to just settle down with a girl who's dumber than me. I'm so sick of you ladies, like, helping me with all my problems.
I know, it's a chore, right?
I just want to sit down in a recliner, you know, and just one day be like, oh man, I had a big problem at work today, nothing to be done about it. And a woman I tell that to goes, uh-huh, yeah. Because she doesn't know what to do. You know what I'm sick of? Coming home with a problem where I tell someone, oh, this is going really bad. And then I'm told, hey, I've got an idea. Overthrow the country. And then you lay out a plan that sounds like it would actually work. This is starting to drive me crazy.
But it does sound like it would work, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, yeah.
So there we are. You go out there, you pick those fights, I'll see who pops up, and I'll figure it out. I'll let you know what I come to as it happens.
Okay, but what if it goes wrong?
I'm a dragon. Don't worry, I won't let you come to harm.
Just one day. One day, I want to hear, yeah, God, that sucks. I hope it turns out better tomorrow.